idee, de twee weken daar bij Schumann Kaplan.
We learn the Megillah, we read the Megillah, we find a big stress that Haman wants to wipe Klal Yisrael out in one day. B'yoyim Echad. It's mentioned so many times, the B'yoyim Echad. I once heard a Vettel, why was Haman so makbid that Klal Yisrael should be wiped out in one day? Why couldn't he carry out his plan over a week without any pressure? One day is a very big pressure. David said, gesagt, because Haman knew deep down it's a good chance he won't be successful. The Medrash already discusses his discussion with Achashverosh. They knew that Klal Yisrael had a protector. So he thought, in case he's not successful, then the Yidden will make out of what he tried to do into a Yontav. So he didn't want Klal Yisrael to have a Yontav for 7 days. That's why he wanted to condense and do B'yayim Echad. So if it turned, goes wrong, the Yidden will only have 1 day Yontav. But Lamaisri wasn't successful. If you look around, you see Purim seems to take about a week or 2 weeks nowadays, right? My daughter phoned me from Eretz Yisrael yesterday. She was in Gula. She said, Mama, just Purim, the kids are dressed up. So he wasn't successful even with that intention. Then when we look at the Megillah, it's not just a Megillah that should be read. The Gemara Megillah writes that you read it by night, and we make Chazorah by day. Shanoisam bayoyim. In the Gemara's Mashma, it's not just something you read. It's something you've got to learn and make Chazorah on. That's good oplernen. In the Pasuk state, Umotcha yodas kol ha-shanasa. Umotcha baruch ha-kodesh knew exactly what was happening. He knew about the Gzeirah. He ripped his garments and he clothed himself with sackcloth and ash. He started crying and screaming, and he went to sit outside the palace dressed in sackcloth and ash. When Esther heard about this, she sent a messenger. So normally you learn pshat when you read the Megillah. The simple pshat is she wanted to know what this was all about. She was in the dark. She had no idea what's going on. She wanted to know what is the meaning behind his okois, behind his dressing himself in sackcloth and ash. We look at Chazal, we see that her intention was something else completely. She also knew about the Gzeira against Klal Yisrael. Her question wasn't what's going on. Her question was, Ma'azeh v'al ma'azeh. She was sending a coded message to Mordechai. We've never had such a gzeira against us. What's the reason? Shema kofru b'Yisrael b'zeh keli v'aveyu. Maybe Klal Yisrael b'koifin rabbi nishtoylam. Or maybe kofru b'luchoy shechsiv b'mizeh u'mizeh in ksuvim. The word Ma'azeh v'al ma'azeh was meramez to zeh kelim aveyu u'mizeh mizeh iksuvim. Chazal tell us, she was asking, what's the reason behind it? What's going on? Why is there a gzeira against Klal Yisrael? What have Klal Yisrael done wrong? Ben Chasm needs to point out, when he spoke about this medrash, when things go wrong for Klal Yisrael, there's gzeiras against us. So the minig is to go and be mishtadl, set up committees, approach various government departments, maybe use some special protectia. Of course, we've got to do our mishtadlus. But really the first port of call is, what's the reason behind it? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing that to us? Ma zois osa lekim lono, like the Shvatim said when they found the money in their sack. The first point of call is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? We've got to daven, because the Gzeira always starts off in Shemaim, as the Medrash tells us, Omat Sotan, the Sotan in Shemaim, stood up, made the Gzeira, and later the Haman came along with Achshverosh. The first thing of a Yitzchak's Oka G'day Lomoro. And Esther as well, she wondered, what is the reason Waksh Pochu is sending a Haman with a terrible gzeira. Right? And coronavirus. Same thing, nothing happens in the world without the Rebbein Shalom organizing it and orchestrating it. And we always got to ask ourselves, what does Kishmoko want from us? He's trying to inspire us, he's trying to show us we're not as secure as we sometimes feel. One moment to the next, things can change. The whole world can start changing. Can't fly, you can't do this, you can't do that. Can't get hold of goods. Kishmoko is sending us a message. We've got to think to ourselves, what message can I take from this? What's the reason behind it? But the question I want to ask is, what did Malta answer? Malta understood the coded message. Mazev al mazev. She's asking, we're Klal Yisrael Kofa in the Rabbeinu Shleilam, we're Klal Yisrael not keeping the mitzvahs. That was Esther's question. What did Malta answer? So Malta answers, Vayagid le Malta es kol asher karo. Malta sent her a message, es kol asher karo. And the word karo was again a coded message to Esther. Ben Benoishel Karo, the grandchild of Karo, is coming against us. Shnema Shekocha Baderech. His answer was, it's Amalek, the grandchild of Karo, the grandchild of Amalek. So what is exactly the answer? She wanted to know what's the reason behind the Gzeira, what have Klal Yisrael done wrong? And the answer Motcha sends is, it's Kol Asher Karo. It's Amalek. Why is that an answer? Why did he refer to Amalek with the word Karo? Shom says a gewaldig pshat, Shom Shadron. The Gemara Megillah writes, the Talmid of Rav Shimon ben Yochai asked, what was the reason why Klal Yisrael in that generation deserved to be wiped out? So the Gemara tells us, Rav Shimon ben Yochai answered, they derived pleasure from the Suda of Achashverosh. They were Nenem Misudosh of Achashverosh. The Gemara we will know. You've got to understand what was wrong with going to this Suda. What was wrong? The words Kitsoinish Vish, Chazal learn that Achashverosh wanted that every person should have his needs met. Kitzoinishvish means whatever heksher you wanted, you could order. You sat down at the table, you told the waiter which heksher you want. Exactly the kashrus that you would have at home, you could have at the Suda. Kitzoinishvish. The wine at the Suda was long before they were goys on Stam Yenom, so the wine was kosher as well. No problem with the wine, no problem with the food. The Manas Halevi writes, wasn't even music there. So it wasn't even rock music or music which might not be suitable for us to listen to. There's no music. There's kosher food, kosher wine. 18,500 Eden went, so they probably sat together to catch up. So, what exactly was wrong with going to Suda Achashverosh?
No women as well.
What?
No women as well.
Were there not?
Yeah, the Vashti had their own party.
It could be. Oh, Bemis Gemara, I'm not going with that Chazal. There's a Chazal that he brought them there to take be Nichshel Naroyas. Lehizman Eschem Elo. This is where the is. We're going with different Mahalach this time, right? We spoke about that once before. Yes, there was some sort of Znus taking place there. It's Omid and Skalkel. That's one of the Medrashim. Yeah. So it could be. Yeah, could be the feed of Mahalach. We're saying there's no Noshim or there's a Mechitza. There was Mamish Ketzoyin Shveish. Maybe that's including Ketzoyin Shveish. Yeah, just by the way, it's not the point we're going to go into today, but just, it's always a good message to take this from the Megillah, is that Malta HaTzadik said, don't go. Don't go. As I said, Medrash Klah told him not to go. 18,500 people went. Amongst the 18,500 people, I'm sure were very special people and good people. What were they thinking? Malta HaTzadik's telling them not to go, and they go. You know what I'm thinking? Like we think sometimes, he's from the old generation, doesn't understand. He's too frum, he's too extreme. You know, come on, what's wrong? The king will be upset if we go, if we don't go. It's all alright, it's kosher, it's fine. You know, we don't have to listen to Malta every time. He doesn't understand today's generation. That's probably what they were speaking about when they decided not to listen to him at the Suda as well. It's interesting because the Gemara tells us when Malta didn't bow down to Haman, so Haman got very annoyed. So the Gemara tells us that Klal Yisrael had tainus on Mordechai. And they said, you're the one who caused Haman to make the Gzeira. Because they looked at everything according to their way of thinking. And the reality was, Chazal tell us klar, that because they went to Suda Omar Tzotten, before the Rabbi Yishloelem, was Makatrik against Klal Yisrael. So everybody got, the 18,500 people got it all wrong, the only person who got it right was Mordechai Tzadik. It's a Baltic Musa for us, we are more a godel, says something, or doesn't allow something, or comes up strongly. We've got to be mevatel ourselves to Das Torah. We don't see everything the way Gedolei Yisrael see it. Had a Gvalde Gavot. The Mishnah says, Akuras and Megillah Mafreh. If you read the Megillah backwards, you're not Yotzer. We never find this anywhere else. So Shiva told me a Gvalde Gavot. He said, it's all very nice when you come to the end of the story to understand everything that's going on. You can't wait till the end of the story to understand what happened until then. You've got to be makabel what's happening is from the Rebbeinu Shem all the way through. You've got to believe that Shmuel is orchestrating events and everything has got a plan and a system. To look at the end, you read a novel, yeah? So it's quite scary. So you look at the end pages to see it, the happy ending. That's not a chokhmah, that's not the way you're going to read it. You're not going to read life by trying to work out what the end's going to be. You've got to take every stage as it comes. Okay, we got off the point. The point we want to work on is, what is the reason why Mordechai told Esther it's Amalek, it's Haman? Why was that an answer to a question why Akshmoch is doing it to us? And again, what was exactly the Avera of Nenim Suzach Shverish? So once before we discussed other Mahalach, that's what I mentioned earlier. Shmuel's got a different Mahalach, also built on his Makairis, and that is, Chazal tell us, V'keilim v'keilim shaynim. They brought in the Klei HaMikdash into the Suda, and they were serving from the Klei HaMikdash, the Kelim, which were used for Kabbalah Saddam, Zrika Saddam al Gab Mizbeach, and that's the Kelim they used in order to serve the meal in this banquet. The Tainon Klal Yisrael was, you see the Kelim from the Beis HaMikdash, you can sit there relaxed and comfortable, and be nana and enjoy yourself when the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash were being used to serve the meal at this banquet. How can you relax and enjoy yourself in such surroundings? The Radzina Rebbe, he managed to gain access to the Vatican with permission. He wanted to see exactly what the color of the tchelis is. He was one of the few people who actually went to the vault of the Vatican. There's lots of different stories about what he saw and what he wrote about, the different things he saw, which were meyashev, a lot of questions we had about the Klei HaMikdash. But he came to one point and he saw the Peroiches, which divided the Kochim with the Kodesh Kochim. And he saw the blood stains on the Peroiches, he chalashed. He collapsed. When they revived him, he said later, he saw the Peroiches with the blood stains which the Kohen Gadol sprinkled on the Peroiches during the Yom Kippur Avodah. He couldn't cope with it. This piece of material, such Kedusha, means so much to Klal Yisrael, lying in the vaults of the Vatican, he couldn't take it. He chalashed. There's a famous Yid called Avram Libman, Zechor Lebracha. There's a little village, of course, called, I don't know how to pronounce the name, Antomidyar or something, near Paris, which he started that village. Only of Eden. Anyway, he went through the war. So what a great person this was. There's a story that somebody witnessed himself and said over, when the Nazis came to town, they were middle of davening, and some of the Nazis are coming, all ran out the Beis Medrash, the shul. There's one man who couldn't, who was an older person, instead of running out the shul, he ran upstairs, and he lay down in Ezra's Noshim upstairs. The Nazis came in, the shul was empty, so they fired. They thought the Eden were hiding, they fired the machine guns at the shul. And they also fired upstairs. And this Yid upstairs got a bullet through his leg. It wasn't so serious. But when the Nazis left, he hobbled downstairs. And he came downstairs, and a fascinating sight met him. He saw Rabbi Avraham Libman still davening Shemoneh Esrei. And just when he was watching, he made Oseh Shalom, and he saw this older person standing behind him. He said, "Where's everybody gone?" Peleg Gemaisa. He was so engrossed in his tefillahs, he was oblivious to what was going on, and a miracle happened, no bullets hit him. This Avraham Libman was later in the concentration camp. It seems a Nazi commandant of that camp knew that he was somebody they looked up to. He wanted to chaper him, so he told him to come to his office. He got him brought to his office. He was eating pork, on a talus. He had a talus, a beautiful talus with a nice atara as a tablecloth, and on it he was eating pork. And he was brought in with two guards. He wanted to shtech him, eating pork on a talus. Without thinking twice, Ram Limban took the talus and he pulled it, and all the food went over the commandant. He told him to go. He told the guards to go and kill him. They whipped him and beat him. Lamaisa, he survived. They managed to save him. And later on, after the war, he opened the yeshiva and he opened this village, not in this place near Paris. Very, very chosh of a person. And again, he saw a talus, a malbushir kedusha, being used by a rosha to eat pork on it. He couldn't control it, so he pulled it away from the commandant at great risk to his life. So Rav Sholem, the Aveira of the Nen Mesuzah Achshverosh was this coldness. This kaltkeit. Fine! We're eating our suda, we're enjoying it. So what? This kelim of the Beis HaMikdash being used to serve the banquet. A Talmud of Chofetz Chaim once came to Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim asked what he does. He said he's a rov in a town, quite a big town. He asked his chilul Shabbos in the town. He said, yes, unfortunately. Have you tried to do anything about it? Yeah, but I've given up long ago. I can't do anything about it. I'm not doing anything about it. What about the chinuch in the town? Same thing, given up. I'm not bothering. It's a waste of time. I'm not doing anything about it. Same answer. So Chaim stood up and he said, you're not doing anything about it. At least you should faint. At least chalash. You become cold. It's not bothering you. You should be fainting every few days about what's going on in the town you're a rov of. The taina on Klal Yisrael was, how can you sit and enjoy yourself when the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash are being used to serve the banquet? That was the taina on Klal Yisrael. Esther's asking Mordechai, what exactly is the aveira which caused this gezeira? So Mordechai's answering, Ben Benoi Shel Karo. It's Amalek. What does Amalek symbolize? What does Amalek symbolize? Amalek symbolizes Mikre, things happen, there's no Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and Karo is also Miloshen Ka, Miloshen Cold. After Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole world knew about what went on in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamsuf Oz Nifhal Alufi Edoim, the whole world knew about it. Reb Chaim Friedlander would write that the Amalekim, they managed and tried very hard to mach everything avek, to explain everything with nature, explain everything as teva. They were the first nation to break this tremendous covert that was created by Kriyas Yamsuf to the whole world. They broke it. They came and fought Klal Yisrael. That was a coldness, not to be nispoiled, not to be inspired. It says Mordechai to Esther, Ben Benoi Shel Karo, it's Amalek. The fact Shpoch is sending Amalek against us, it's because Midah Keneg Midah, we've shown a coldness. We've shown a tremendous coldness. This coldness is a taina on Klal Yisrael. Really, coldness is not only in our relationship with Akshpochbi, in our relationship to our fellow human beings. Purim is a zman, we send shlachmonas. We want to warm up our relations with the people around us, our neighbors, our friends, to mend damaged relationships through shlachmonas. Especially today's day and age, where in a certain sense, we've become very cold. Somebody has a simcha, we send them a text, mazel tov. Their interaction between people has dropped drastically. Somebody showed me a few weeks ago an article, 40 years' time, there'll be actually people forget how to speak to each other. And suddenly the whole communication system will be down. People start speaking, they'll find a new form of communication. They'll think, oh, this is nice. And a text that went around a few years ago, Erev Pesach, somebody sent around a text that my phone was down for a few hours. And I started speaking to my family. They're actually nice people. And this is really, sadly, it is sadly so true. We're living in a world where communication through technology has taken over our lives, and people are emailing and texting all other ways of communicating, and it's creating a certain coldness in Ben Adam HaVeiroi, We don't have to phone people up to wish them Mazel Tov and their Simcha. We don't have to phone people up to socialize. It's just a short message, and a few minutes later, a message back. The interaction has really dropped drastically. You see the big billboards when they advertise the different machines you can buy. It's to be connected. Really, these machines are disconnecting people. As you've got a new car, it's contactless. Right? Everything's become contactless. There's no connection between people anymore. Ador is a month which the Torah and many, many Sfarim speak very much about the connection between Ador and Yosef. The others are connected to the Yom Tovim, and the Shvatim, the 12 Shvatim are the 12 months of the year. And Ador is Yosef, just as Levi writes, that's why Ador could be split into two, because Yosef was split into two, Menashe and Ephraim. So Emes writes very lot by Riches about the Indian of Ador being Yosef. But I was just thinking another point. The Mahalach of the Sforim is more Ador, is Yosef. Yosef symbolizes the Gvuras HaYetzer and the Big Nisyonos. But Yosef symbolizes something else as well. Yosef spent time in Egyptian prison. I'm sure the people there weren't looked after properly, to say the least. But Yosef was put in charge of these prisoners. And in this tremendous suffering, which he had experienced away from his family, sold as a slave, falsely accused, he walks through the prison and he sees the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ifim. And he asks them, Madua Plechim Roim Ayoim, why do you look upset? If you think about it, he brought humanity into the prison, connected with someone, saw they were upset more than usual, and asked them about it. Tell me about it, maybe I can help you. The fact somebody showed an interest that lifted up their spirits. I read once a story about Churchill. He was walking in the street. There was somebody lying on the floor, Nebuch, a beggar, a homeless fellow. He said, can you spare anything for me? So Churchill stopped, and he checked all his pockets. And he really checked properly, he couldn't find any money. So I'm really sorry, brother, I can't give you anything. So the man said to him, you've given me so much. Thank you so much. What have I given you? You call me brother. It's a famous story Churchill said over. He called him brother. He spoke, he lifted up his spirits by calling him a nice name, saying a half of a nice word to him that lifted up the spirits. Yosef walks through in this dismal prison of Mitzrayim, and he retains his humanity. He says, Madua pneichem roim ayoim. Why are you looking upset? Can you imagine how they felt? The spirits soared. Somebody's interested in their welfare. The reality was, this middah of keeping your humanity in difficult times was a catalyst which eventually caused the release of Yosef from the prison. That, Madua pneichem roim ayoim, that caused the gula for Yosef. That was what started it. Later, the Sarah Mashkin, they remember Taka, what Yosef, about Yosef. So the Ador is Yosef. Yosef symbolizes humanity, this connecting with people. And that is really the Inyan of Purim. One of the main Inyanim of Purim is Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reihu, to lift up people's spirits, to repair damaged relationships, to connect with people. And maybe it's not so much how much we give, it's how we give it, what we write in the letter, we take around personally. There's so much connection we can create in the Yontov of Purim, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. He wants us to get rid of this coldness which is so prevalent in today's society because of technology. That's the opportunity to reconnect and to bring a warmth into our relationships. That's Rav Sholem's main theme about the Aveira of the Nenem Shalachreis, this kaltkeit, this coldness, this krirus. And this krirus is not just to the Rebbein Shloilom, it could be a krirus also, but on the chaveiroi. I once heard from Chaim Kaufman, Zechayin Lerocha, he said, from the Kotzke. The Kotzke, he always had good lines. Kotzke, every line is. And he was walking in the forest once with his Talmidim, and they chanced upon a clearing. There was a lake. The lake was frozen. There were priests, galochim, on the lake. And they were sawing out of the lake a giant cross, huge cross. They're working hard on it, and he stood there watching, and he said to his chassidim, Water symbolizes Tara. A mikveh, you toivel kelim, people toivel in a mikveh. Water symbolizes Tara. When the water gets frozen, you can make a cross out of it. You can metamer it. You can make it into a cross. So Kotzke Ayid is warm. If it becomes gefroir, it becomes cold. You can watch the kelim of the mikdash being used to serve your meal and you don't faint. It doesn't bother you. We see things. Tvorship and Kedusha being people being metamtum them. It doesn't upset us. It doesn't bother us. That's a krirus. Even a mayim, which is tara, can turn into a tselem, can turn into a dova tomi when it becomes fafroirin. Sean, that brings a story. He was in London once, a very cold winter, snowing heavily. He's walking down the street. Very jolly fellow, Shalom was. He knew how to connect to people. He sees a yid a few steps ahead with a hat and a scarf and a coat. He said, "Good morning, Rav Yid." He said at the top of his voice, in a loud voice of Shalom, if you remember him. He didn't turn a budge. He comes closer. "Good morning, Rav Yid. Was machman?" Didn't budge. "What's going on? Why isn't the fellow responding?" Oh, as he comes closer, he peers into his face. He's a carrot. Part of his nose. He realized it was a snowman. It was a snowman. Somebody built a snowman and dressed him up like a Tavshon Gezocht. He learned from there, as I mentioned, there's no connection. We've got to retain our warmth, our relationship with other people. When we get cold, we lose our relationships. And this is the Indian von Mordechai Tzadik's response to Esther's question. It's Krirus. Ben Benoy Shel Kero, it's Amalek, and the Midah Keneged Midah is Krirus. That's the limud we can take from the Megillah. There's so many limudim we can take from the Megillah, and this is a point which really Purim's all about. Creating a warmth between neighbors, between people, that's part of the avoda of Purim. Just say another vort, which is, this was a new shir, but somebody said a few years ago, so there's still a bit of time left. Chazal tell us, Tzorach HaKroisa Kula. You've got to read the whole Megillah. The whole Megillah. And when you read parts of the Megillah, you don't realize why it's connected to Klal Yisrael. Tzorach HaKroisa Kula. Imagine President Trump, very colourful character, and does things often spontaneous, unexpected. He would decide he wants to move to Lakewood. He wants to move the seat of power. He's got executive power. He wants to move the seat of power to Lakewood in America. The whole world would discuss why he's doing it. Is it right? Is it wrong? Who's going to pay the cost? There'd be so much discussion about it. Chamtom Shigasin Kop, he wants to move the seat of power to Lakewood. What do you think that's got to do got anything to do with Eden? So we think, no. Rank up the Meshigasin Kop. One of the main lessons from the Megillah that Gaon writes is to recognize that everything happening in the world has got a shaykhs to Eden. We don't always work it out, but it's got a shaykhs to Eden. On the Pasuk of Keshavas HaMelech HaChshveiris Al Kisa Al Chusei, there's a medrash. HaChshveiris wanted to sit on the throne of Shlomo HaMelech, but he was unable to do so. He got on the throne, they kicked him, they bit him. It was a mechanical or apines, I don't know. But he realized he's not getting on that throne without getting beaten up. So he wants a replica made. The only craftsman who could make this replica was in Shushan. Little village, small village, far from the capital city. They were brilliant craftsmen, very clever people. And they could duplicate exactly the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. But sometimes very clever people, with all the planning, they often make very practical mistakes. Yeah, one current example is the smart motorway. I'm sure there were great, clever people who designed the whole system, and they found out real serious flaws in the whole system, dangerous flaws. The light railway bridge, when you come into Shalim, it cost tens of millions of dollars. They spent years building it. And if you remember, when they finished building it, it took a whole year till they opened it. What went wrong? All the architects and brilliant planners and all the people who were involved, they worked out in exact detail how strong to make the bridge to hold the weight of a train. They worked out very carefully and they built it according to those specifications. But when they were about to try it out, and it worked beautifully, there was no tremors, they realized a fatal mistake they had made. When they worked out the weight of the train, they didn't take into account the people stuffed in the train. If you've been to Schleim recently, you see these trains are packed like sardines, right? They're really used properly. And they realize the weight of the hundreds of people on the train makes the train weigh so much more, and therefore the bridge will not be able to safely sustain that weight. So they had to re-strengthen the bridge. It took a long time, that's why they had delay opening it. Some of the very simple things people miss, however clever you are. You have it in life very often. So these Groser Chachomim and Shushan, they were brilliant craftsmen and brilliant people, but they forgot one point: how they're going to take the throne all the way to the capital city. It was impossible to transport. Impossible. So when they finished making, after 3 years, putting koichas, they suddenly realized, hey, we can't get it all the way to the capital city. Achshverosh was desperate to sit on his throne. He didn't want to wait another 3 years. So he moved the whole melucha to Shushan. He built a new palace around it. He knocked everything down the stomach, and he built a new palace around this beautiful throne. And you think to yourself, as Iber Kerenish, major event, what Shaykh has got to Eden? So the Gaon calls Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushan. There was an old man in Shushan who later would be instrumental in saving Klal Yisrael. Not to bother him to travel to the capital city years before Achshbol orchestrated events to bring the capital city to him. So President Trump would decide to use to move to Lakewood, not sure the room there anymore, but Tom's River nearby, there would be a Shaychus to Eden, because every event had a Shaychus to Eden. Now we spoke once about King Edward's abdication, he wanted to marry Mrs. Simpson, Dan Abramsky explained why it's got a Shaychus to Eden. Every event in the world's got a Shaychus to Eden, the coronavirus, and every natural or unnatural or event orchestrated by human beings has got a Shaychus to Eden. It's connected, we don't always find out why. But also the Shaychus to Eden. It's a famous story, they say from Baal Shem Tov Shal Shudas. I saw the same story in the Medrash, could be happened twice, could be somebody got it mixed up, but it could have happened twice. The Baal Shem Tov laughed during Shal Shudas. He laughed. So the Talmidim asked him, why are you laughing? Chassidim asked him, why are you laughing? So he said, because 1,000 years ago there was a prince who had a bit too much money, and he built himself a massive palace in the middle of nowhere. He lived there for a few weeks, but after a few weeks he got a bit bored and he left the palace. The palace was left standing, wasn't being looked after, slowly deteriorated and became dilapidated. The palace stood for centuries uninhabited. Since this week a Yid was walking and traveling, it was a very, very hot day, extremely hot, unusually hot. He needed shade for a few hours. He stood next to the palace. We sat next to the palace and got shade from the palace. So Mashanta said, just now, a few minutes ago, the whole palace collapsed. And he says, I know that the whole purpose of this palace, all the money spent and all the effort put into it, is all because this Yid should have his shade. I was at the Mashanta, because that's why he laughed. A similar type of thing. Oh, but that is the way we're going to. The message, one of the main messages of the Megillah, all the events that took place, that's the expert we said, but the main point we spoke about today was the taina on Klal Yisrael was a taina of Nen, there was kosher food, there was kosher wine, there was a good atmosphere, but there was a coldness when they saw the cave in the base of Mishra being used to serve. That's a kriros, that's a coldness, that was unacceptable, they should have fainted, they should have ran away. And for that, Shmuel brought about an enikul of Amalek, because they also symbolize that korcha baderach, that kriros, that coldness, not being the spoil, that machin avek, and saying everything's mikra, that's the midah keneged midah, and that is the reason why Shmuel brought Amalek against Klal Yisrael, and we can take from this the ben on mechaveiroi, to use Purim as an opportunity to create warmth between ourselves, to repair relationships, and that was one of the big symbols of Yosef and Ador, Mador Penechem Roy Mayon.